ought to read quite a bit of scripture, so I do kind of apologise for that. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. It's page 1073. Daniel 6, verse 10. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being opened in his upper chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. For those men came in a body and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And then it says in verse 16, then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And then over the page, in verse 21, then Daniel spoke unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not heard me, for as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Therefore was the king exceeding glad, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And then 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 19, page 472. And we'll read to the middle of verse 9. And behold, the word of Jehovah came to him, and he said to him, What doest thou here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for Jehovah, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I am left, I alone, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before Jehovah. And behold, Jehovah passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before Jehovah. Jehovah was not in the wind. And after the wind an earthquake, Jehovah was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, Jehovah was not in the fire. And after the fire, a soft, gentle voice. And then in verse 18, Yet I have left myself 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth that hath not kissed him. And then just a few verses in 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, page 488. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 14, And he sent thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the attendant of the man of God rose early and went forth, behold, an army surrounded the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he said, Fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Jehovah, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And Jehovah opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And then lastly, and I'm sorry, I've got to ask you to bear with me, I'm going to read the whole chapter, 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, page 1442. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I testify before God and Christ Jesus, who is about to judge living and dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, proclaim the word, be urgent in season and out of season, convict, rebuke, encourage, with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time shall be when they will not hear sound teaching, but according to their own lusts will heap up to themselves teachers having an itching ear. And they will turn away their ear from the truth and will have turned aside to fables. But thou be sober in all things, bear evils, do the work of an evangelist, fill up the full measure of thy ministry. For I am already being poured out, and the time of my release is come. I have combated the good combat. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth the crown of righteousness is laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will render to me in that day, but not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. Use diligence to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present age, and is gone to Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thyself, for he is serviceable to me for ministry. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. The cloak which I left behind me in Troas at Carpathus, bring when thou comest, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the smith did many evil things against me. The Lord will render to him according to his works. Against whom be thou also on thy guard, for he has greatly withstood our words. At my first defence, no man stood with me, but all deserted me. May it not be imputed to them. But the Lord stood with me and gave me power, that through me the proclamation might be fully made, and all those of the nations should hear. And I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. The Lord shall deliver me from every wicked work, and shall preserve me for his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for the ages of ages. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the house of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained in Corinth, but Trophimus I left behind in Miletus sick. I left behind, use diligence to come before winter. Eubulus salutes thee, and Pudens and Linus and Claudia, and the brethren all. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. I think you can see the idea that is before me tonight in reading these four scriptures. Four men that could have been downcast. And I feel that today we need to be encouraged in the Lord. Many reasons for being discouraged. The devil rages as a roaring lion. He wants to discourage the people of God. If we're honest, we're all discouraged from time to time. If you read the Psalms, you see that some of the psalmists there, they pour out their hearts. They say, why? But I think we can take comfort and encouragement from these four examples I've read of people that felt it was all over, but it wasn't. I started in Daniel. This is a well-known scripture, as all of these are. But Daniel, you know, was a wonderful servant. There's only one man in scripture called our greatly beloved, and that was Daniel. A faithful man, right from an early age. And that's a good thing when you see a young believer, faithful to his God, true to his God. And I encourage you, if you're young, I was once, but if you're young, commit yourself to the Lord. God will honour it. Daniel was particularly faithful. You can read his story. And I didn't realise before that this incident here, he was in his 90s when he was cast into the lion's den. But he started as a young man, faithful, and he kept going. What kept him going? Was it Daniel? It was the Lord's work in him. God himself had preserved him. So we get to this point here in Daniel's life. Has he changed? No. That's one thing which is commendable, isn't it? A believer who is constant and consistent. You know, if we're honest, we get taken in by this fashion and that fashion. We get bended by opinion. But here was a man who was constantly, consistently faithful. No matter what happened, he was true to his God. Where we read, and it says, and when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. I think that's very interesting, isn't it? You know, things looked bleak. The law was set up. It was a fix, of course, interesting to note this. The king really wasn't in it, but it was decided for him, wasn't it? It says later on, they came in a body. How we see that today. The government of the day, not actually against you maybe, but there is something behind, a body of people, which forces the hand. But, you know, Daniel gets a right perspective. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? When you've got your eye on someone who's outside this world, and you have a heavenly perspective. And Daniel wasn't interested in what the king said. He knew what was right. It says, and when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that, if you might say, the die was cast, and yet he didn't flinch. He didn't change his opinion. Dear believer, don't change your opinion according to the world, but be true to God himself. It says he went into his house and his window being open. I think that's interesting too. He didn't open the window, but they were already open. Because that was the way he was. That's what his custom was. You know, habits can be bad, but they can also be very good. Daniel had a good habit, a good custom. It says here, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his upper chamber towards Jerusalem. Because you see, his heart was in the right place. In the upper chamber. He had a higher perspective. Dear friends, it's sad to see when believers have got the world's perspective. But you should have a heavenly perspective. If you have, the higher you go, the more you can see. It's obvious, isn't it? Here he went into his upper chamber. And it says the windows being open. They were already there. Because the day before the decree was signed, they were open. And the day before that. And the day before that. But what had changed? The law had changed. He was in a fix. Did he change? No, he was constant. It says his windows being open towards Jerusalem. That place where God had set his name to be. It's a place, you know, where you should be. Where God's interests are. And you know, it speaks often of the assembly, the church. God is not actually interested in the world as such. He loves men. He loves sinners. But the gospel goes out that you might be taken out of the world. That you might be redeemed from this present evil world. And if you have no doubt about how evil the world is, just look around you. And it's getting worse. It's getting more evil. The world is getting more evil. But God, in the gospel, through his grace and mercy, is drawing people out of the world. And they form a wonderful company called the church or the assembly, which is pictured by Jerusalem. And so Daniel was interested in that. He was interested in what God was interested in. What are you interested in today? Are you bowed down and concerned with your own little spot, with your own little affairs? Or do you have a wide perspective? You know, we as Christians can get very insular, very concerned with our own difficult situation. And we've all had problems in the last 18 months, haven't we? What to do, how to view things. I would say, get up to the upper chamber. Make sure the window's open. He didn't hide it, did he? His window, they could see what he was doing. It says he kneeled on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Isn't that wonderful? He prayed and he gave thanks. You might say, Daniel, what have you got to be thankful about? You've got a law come in where you can't worship God. But he went into his chamber. He got a heavenly perspective. He could see things from God's viewpoint. And he said, I'm not going to change. I'm going to do what I've always done. I'm going to pray and I'm going to give thanks. What a wonderful encouragement that is as believers. Let us pray. Yes, we intercede on behalf of men, on behalf of believers. We care. We care for this Jerusalem, this church. We care for it, don't we? Paul had to write to Timothy that there was no one else who cared with genuine feeling. Do we care about believers, the state of believers? Do we care about the state of the church? Do we have genuine feeling? Daniel, you know, he had his eyes towards Jerusalem. He was in captivity, but he was actually free, wasn't he? You like Paul, you know, in the stocks in Philippi. You might have said Paul was in prison, and in the inner prison. But he was actually free. He was freer than the jailer, wasn't he? Because he had Christ at his side. So he says, and they came in a body. You know, the devil has always been against God's people. He wants to do away with them, wants to attack them. And I believe in these days in which we live, things are getting worse. There is more antipathy towards God and what is according to his name. You can feel it in the air, but you know God is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? So it says that they cast him into the prison, into the lion's den. I haven't read all of the story, but it says where I read at the end there that I like the commendation there. It says in verse 23, the king was exceeding glad, but it says there was no manner of hurt was found on him because he believed in his God. What a commendation. I wonder if that you could be said about you and I, and be believed in his God. Do we have tonight, dear brethren, a rock solid faith in God, to trust in him, to not change? You know, the fashions of the world change, the laws change. There is a definite agenda. There was an agenda in this day, wasn't there, against God's people. And I think in 2021 there's a definite agenda against everything that belongs to God and against his people. But Daniel didn't change. He carried on. He was encouraged and he was set free because he believed in his God. One example for us, dear Christian believer, and you might think everything is against you, but don't give up. Carry on. Pursue. That's the point of the Christian. Now, one of the saddest things is when a Christian gives things up. Yeah, carry on. Continue. Next scripture I read in 1 Kings 20. Here's a man who was very discouraged, wasn't he? He'd had a terrible time. He'd been faithful, like Daniel, but he had a terrible time. That wicked person, Jezebel and Ahab. What a faithful man Elijah was, but he got discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged, as I said. Very easy to get discouraged. But here, it's interesting that he's provided for, he's taken on this journey. It says in verse 4, I didn't read it all, he himself went today's journey into the wilderness. Went off by himself. You know, it's quite interesting. When we get discouraged, we can go off and do our own thing. What we need to do is get to the Lord, get his mind on it. Elijah, you know, he was so fed up, he went and just did his own thing. But the faithfulness of God was that God looked after him. He provided for him, didn't he? It says in later in verse 5 and verse 6 rather, he was provided with food and drink. Such is the care of the Lord, you know. Even though we might go off the tangent, even though we might get discouraged and fail, God is wonderful in his provision, in his grace and his mercy, and he cares for us. And then we find that Elijah carries on in verse 9, and behold, the word of Jehovah came to him. He followed the Lord afterwards. He did obey the Lord in the end. He went to Horeb. And then Elijah comes out with the same story. He repeats it. We often do that, don't we? Our life, like we just trot it out, the same thing. We feel sorry for ourselves. Just trot it out. But then he meets the Lord himself. That's the answer, isn't it? But it's interesting. It's not in the... There's certain great things happen on this mountain. There's the wind, there's the earthquake, the fire. But it's not in those. You know, sometimes when we get down and then things happen, we look to circumstances to give us the answer. But that may not be the way. Don't look for things for reasons. Just listen to what the Lord is saying. He wasn't in the earthquake, he wasn't in the fire or the wind. Yes, all these things were happening, but the answer wasn't that in things that were happening. And maybe if you're discouraged tonight, don't look to what things may be happening, but rather get to the Lord himself. The answer is the soft voice. You need to get to the voice of Jesus. Listen to what he's saying. How so easily we get dictated by circumstance. But it says very distinctly, he wasn't in the earthquake, he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the wind. There was a little gentle voice. In my checkered Christian pathway, there have been times I failed, but just occasionally, you may just hear the voice of the Lord. Nudges you in the right direction. Puts everything into perspective. And that's what happens here, that the Lord puts everything into perspective. He says, Elijah tries to justify him. He says, I've done this and I've done that. And it was very true. But the Lord is the one who has the great assessment. And he says, don't worry, Elijah. I love you. I've followed you. I've provided for you. I've spoken to you. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged, because I've left to myself. They weren't Elijah's people. They were the Lord's. Dear friend, tonight we may be just a handful, but the Lord has many. He's head of his church and many belong to him. And that, you know, although there's been so much unfaithfulness, and I look at myself in the mirror, yes, I've been unfaithful too. But you know, the Lord has left to himself 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. You know, don't be discouraged. If you've been faithful, praise the Lord. That's God's mercy. It's not of your own, not of my doing. In God's mercy, you've been faithful. But you're not the only one. You're not the only one. Dear Christian, you're not the only one. Sometimes it might feel that it's just yourself soldiering on, trying to do what's right. But there's many others. The Lord has his own. There's 7,000. It wasn't just a handful. 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. Sometimes it seems as if the whole of the church is just giving into the world, doesn't it? But it's not so. Sometimes you meet a faithful believer and he's going on right. And you say, there you are. That's one of the 7,000, isn't it? Not literally 7,000, but in type, in principle, it's one of the 7,000. And that God has his people everywhere, despite the circumstances. Well, Elijah was discouraged, but he got encouragement at the end of this chapter. Of course, other things happen later. But you know, it's wonderful when we get into the presence of the Lord. We listen to what he is saying. Don't look at the earthquake and the fire and the wind. Listen to what the Lord Jesus is saying. And he'll say to you, I've got my people. And I will triumph. I'll be victorious. What a saviour. What a God we have to follow. What a saviour we have to follow. I just read in 2 Kings there, just a little incident. Again, there's been great opposition. If you read all these historical books, you see just consistently how there's opposition to what is of God. It doesn't stop. There's no let up, is there? And in our Christian pathway, as individuals or together, there's no let up. The devil is constantly wanting to attack us. Here there's a little incident, and they're going to come up to Samaria. But there's this, in just a few verses, the young man, the attendant of God, he couldn't see what was going on, and he needed to have his eyes open. I just think it's lovely. He says, how shall we do? There's all these big armies in opposition. What shall we do? You know, sometimes as believers, I'm sure over the last 18 months, we've heard that. What should we do? How should we do? Well, there's an answer. Elisha prayed, like he said, Jehovah, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And we would pray that for ourselves and for all those, all dear believers, that may be discouraged tonight. You know, that our eyes might be open to see what God is doing. Open our eyes. It says, and it says quite simply, that Jehovah opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. How wonderful that is. Just a simple thing. Elisha prayed. Jehovah acted and he saw. He saw what God was doing. And if God be for you, who can be against you? You know, we are, as some dear old Christian said, you know, we are on the winning side. May not look like it because the devil has his forces. It looks like the devil was victorious, that the world is just being sucked in by the devil. But you know, as we as believers are on the winning side. Why? Because our Lord and Saviour was already defeated the foe at the Calvary's cross. When he died for sin, he conquered sin, he conquered death, he conquered the devil himself. It was all there at Calvary's cross where it happened. And because of that, we can be victorious too. We can be victorious because he was. Are you discouraged tonight? Maybe you're blind tonight. You can't see what's going on. You think everything's hopeless. I would pray that your eyes might be open to see what God is providing, what God is doing. Oh Lord, open our eyes. Help us to see what God is doing, because God is for you. God is going to win the victory in actuality. And the Lord Jesus, we know, the one that we love, the one that died for us, is coming back to reign. And everything will be put under his feet. I love thinking about that, you know. You think of, in the world we live, there's so much arrogance, so much pride, and there's so much which is against God. Presumption. People defying God openly, in creation, in morals, in everything. And yet, you know, all these people, one day they're going to bow at the feet of Jesus. We've got that privilege of doing so tonight, because we love him, because we know what he's done for us, because as we were seeing in the reading, that he's worthy of it. He's worthy to be adored. He's worthy of doing homage to. Oh, may our eyes be open to see. And then I just read in Timothy, and I'm sorry I read the whole chapter, but I just think this chapter is a wonderful epilogue, isn't it, in Paul's life. My father had a book, I think I've said this in Worthing many times, but my father had a book, I think you can still get it somewhere, but it's called The Last Words of 500 Remarkable People. Some are believers and some are not. But you know, the last words of some are actually very interesting. Whether they're an atheist or whether they're a believer, their last words tell you a lot about them. These are the last words of Paul. I think from history I understand that this was just not long before he was executed by the Caesar of the day. This is his epitaph. I suppose he said goodbye to the Ephesians in Acts chapter 20. If you read Acts 20, it's very moving. Very moving. He's saying goodbye to the brethren there. In 2 Timothy 4, he's saying goodbye to the world, actually. He's saying goodbye. But what a wonderful encouragement, you know. This was a dark day, and it's no different today. What Paul had accomplished, you know, and yet, what was there left? There's only a few. It's very sad in some ways. He says that Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present age. That rings true, doesn't it? Maybe it rings true with you. We've spoken the reading about losing our first love. You know, the world, the enemy of our souls is very subtle and insidious. He knows just where to draw us away. There's plenty of Demases about today. Maybe you're one of them. I've been one of them. God's grace, He can pull you back to our first love. But Demas had gone off, and then you've got all these other brethren, and they're sort of here, there, and everywhere. It says Luke alone is with me. That's a good thing, isn't it? Dr. Luke, good to have a doctor with you. But he wasn't just a medical doctor, I'm sure. I'm sure he was a wonderful encouragement to Paul. Luke alone is with me. But if you just read this chapter 4 quietly to yourself, you just get the heart of Paul, don't you? Feeling. He felt it. Would today, that's one thing that distresses me about the present crisis. How much feeling is there? And heartfelt for the broken state of things. Those that have love has grown cold. Do we feel it? We've got a Demas in our midst. Do we feel it? Naturally, it would look very depressing. He says they've all gone their various ways, scattered to the four winds. And you've got this outright opposition as well. Like everything is being thrown at Paul. A bit like Elijah. You've got Jezebel, you've got Ahab. You've got the prophets of Baal. Everything's been thrown at Paul. But, verse 17, I think the author eyes says nevertheless, which I quite like. Here, yeah, but, it says, but the Lord. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. That's the main thing, isn't it? Whatever else may happen, it's good to have brethren. Praise God. It's lovely to see so many here tonight. Lovely to have fellowship. But if things get really tough, it's the Lord that's the first thing. Paul, you know, the one that he'd served so faithfully. In many senses, this is a sad thing. Paul had laboured so hard, and yet it looks bleak here. You can't help feeling, you're feeling with Paul as you read this. He says, but nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. And not only did he stand it, but he gave him power. That's wonderful, isn't it? In our weakness, in our discouragement, in our loneliness, the Lord is with us. And he can give you power. You can triumph. Paul says in another place, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I'd encourage you tonight. If you feel downcast, if you feel everything's going pear-shaped, come back to the Lord. Resort to him. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and gave me power. Because? Why? Because God's work must go on. You know, that's another thing. These last 18 months, how many churches have been shut? Church near us, where we know some of the believers, but it's all overgrown, ivy growing up the windows. Sad, isn't it? But here, the work must go on. It says that through me, the proclamation will be fully made, and all the nations should hear. So God's work goes on, the work of the ministry goes on, and it will right to the end. You know? Not in Paul's strength, but in God's strength, in Christ's strength. In the strength of the Lord, God's work goes on. And it's interesting that I just read the whole chapter, because although Paul felt alone in many ways, he had Timothy, he had Luke, and he had all these other brethren too. You know, it's wonderful to see that there are others, aren't there? There's plenty here today, some I've never seen before. God had his people. There are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. The main thing is you have the Lord. Well, that's all I have to say. Four men who in circumstantially could have been easily depressed, but through God's grace and mercy they found resource, and they found that in fact that God was doing a much greater work than they could ever imagine. One had to have his eyes open. One had to hear the voice. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing to know that the Lord is in control. He's able to encourage. And Paul speaks of God as the God of all encouragement. And if tonight, dear believer, if you're encouraged in any way in the Lord to commit yourself to Him, to be more faithful, to be more full of love for that blessed one who died and shed his blood for us. If you're able to look beyond the circumstances and look to the one who's soon coming to reign in glory. If you're encouraged tonight, then the work is done. The job is done. May it be so for all of us. For his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.